We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Thanks for listening to the Dusty and Cam in the Morning podcast, brought to you by your local Les Schwab Tire Centers, where I get my wild country tires. Les Schwab, doing the right thing since 1952.
This is Dusty and Cam in the Morning.
It ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done.
With Dusty Hera and NFL veteran Cam Cleland.
If I can change and you can change, everybody can change.
On 1080, The Fan.
Hour number three, Dusty and Cam in the Morning. Thank you for being part of our morning, letting us be part of yours. Buck had in his update there a little breaking news in the NFL about Yannick Ngakoue. The Vikings, that would be your white flag moment there. Giving up the guy that they traded for this offseason.
CBS already had the best meme, CBS Sports. It's like Yannick Ngakoue's stretch at Minnesota Vikings, and they have the Dumb and Dumber of... Oh, God. Lloyd Christmas walking out with a big gulps, huh?
See you later.
Well, see you later. That's really what
reminds
it is.
Me that yeah. Simpsons meme where Grandpa Simpson just walks into the restaurant, drops his hat, spins around, walks out.
Do that. See you later.
Yep. That's basically it for him. They gave up a second round pick and a fifth round pick to acquire him from the Jacksonville Jaguars. They receive from the Baltimore Ravens a third round pick and a fifth round pick.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
That's what happens. Cost Bill O'Brien his job. Ooh.
What?
You see, when you trade guys for less than what they're worth, you see what I'm saying? Is that you got rid of guys, and then you're like, oh, we'll just get rid of this really good player and get who back? Mm-hmm. What did we get?
Well,
we give up?
Could be a big boost for Baltimore, though. I mean, it does show that the Vikings are saying, we suck. We're done. We're 1-5. Yeah. But for Baltimore, I mean, another elite pass rusher to go on that defensive helps. Line. My goodness Depth. Gracious. Maybe they can stop the run eventually, though. Because remember when Derrick Henry just ran all over him last year?
Oh, yeah.
Playoffs done. Mm-hmm. One seed. You're surprised what?
I'm surprised. I would wonder, because the Seahawks love to deal with the Vikings. There's a good relationship between those two. I wonder if those tires were kicked at all. They just don't have any assets left, I think.
Case of the Wednesdays. I'm still a Vikings fan.
Sorry, bro.
Sorry.
Also, it's Thursday.
It's Thursday. By the way. I had a case of the Wednesdays yesterday.
That's a case of the Thursdays. Forget what day it is.
We have a new couch coming. We've been waiting on this couch since July.
Pandemic.
It showed up. Wrong color.
It's so 2020. Isn't it?
Showed up, wrong color couch.
So what do you do? Do you just say send it back or another eight weeks?
Don't even take it off the truck. 8 weeks. Dude, it took since July to get this one. I have no idea how long the next one's going to take. Oh. So
end of July or beginning of July?
You order it? Actually, mid-July.
Okay. So, 12 weeks.
Right in the middle of July. So it's in a long haul. So case of the Wednesdays happened, bro, even on Thursdays. Let's get to it. It is time to hear the bells, which will make everybody's Thursday brighten up a little.
The competition is keen.
I don't know, fellas. I think there's potential in this crowd.
Every game counts.
We'll put a game plan together and we're going to win.
That's why Dusty and Cam have poured countless hours of research into their pro football predictions.
It was fiercely fought, but frightfully flawed.
Well, anyway, this is the Fans Pro Football Challenge with Dusty and Cam. And Buck's here too. Brought to you by Warren Allen Attorneys at Law. Injured? Don't trust just anyone to something so personal. Call George McCoy at Warren Allen, online at warrenallen.com. The Pro Football Challenge on 1080.
Let's go find out if they're ready today.
The Fan.
All right, I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to do it. I know where we're starting this pick'em at.
Yeah!
I know where we're starting this.
What the heck was that?
That was Travis Kelce.
Travis Kelce.
Oh, that's right.
Damn, boys.
Next 49er quarterback.
Maybe.
Thursday night football. Somebody's got to win. Who wins this damn game between the Giants and the Eagles?
The Eagles. The Eagles got the best player on the field. Carson Wentz, that's it.
You always go with the best player. It's a no-brainer.
It is a no-brainer. It is, to me, it's a no-brainer. Best player on the field is Carson Wentz. I always go with the best player.
Hey, they've already lost to the Washington football team.
Eagles gave the Ravens everything and then some.
But then Ertz is on the IR now.
Yeah.
They lost another one. Miles Sanders not playing. I'm going to go. New York Giants win two games in a row.
Okay.
And two games in a row and can take a commanding lead.
Tying the Dallas Cowboys.
Game is going to be so bad.
Really? What if it's great? What if?
I mean, if it'll be a close game, but that doesn't mean it's going to be great.
Well, Philly's minus 4.5.
Yeah, they opened as a 7-point favorite. People immediately jumped on the Giants with that 7 points. It's gone down to 4.5.
Just go for two. Go for two.
I don't think it's as slam dunk as Cam does. I will take Philly, I think, probably in a close one.
All right. Let's get to some good games, because there are some really good games across the NFL this week, including the 5-0 Pittsburgh Steelers on the road at the 5-0 Tennessee
Titans. It's the Steelers.
We need a Titans drop.
Their only Titans drop is Mariota.
Yeah, we need anyone.
Marcus Mariota.
That one's done.
He's in Vegas.
That one's done. We do need a Titans drop, and I'm going to go with the Titans drop the hammer on the Steelers. I love the Steelers here. I want to bet the Steelers. I'm trying to convince myself to bet again. I think the Titans might sneak this one.
Which team are you taking?
I love the Steelers here, and I love the Titans, but I think the Titans drop the hammer on them with Derrick Henry. But you didn't let me finish. It won't be enough. It will not be enough because of Mapletron and Ben Roethlisberger. Give me the Steelers. It's supposed to be confusing.
My brain hurts.
Right.
My brain.
Lead you one way, take you down another path.
It really hurts. I'm going to make this a lot easier than that. I'm going to go with the home team. Why does it seem like Tennessee's getting all these tight games in these close ones at home? Right? They got Buffalo coming into their place. They trounced them 42-16. They get Pittsburgh at home.
It's going to be a great game.
Yeah. The one game that they do have to hit the road for that is going to be tough. Actually, two of them. They have to go to Baltimore and to Green Bay later in the year. I like Tennessee. This is the game of the week for me. I love this game. I'm excited that we get this game on Sunday. Give me the Tennessee Titans at home, 1-point favorites. Woo!
I am also excited for this game. This is my number one game to watch this week, but I'm going to go with the Steelers. I think the defense is going to be something unlike what Tennessee has seen so far. Tennessee's been great, but they've beat defenses like the Jaguars, the Vikings, the Bills, the Texans. It's not the same caliber as what the Pittsburgh Steelers have been doing, so give me the Steelers.
Guys,
what's it going to happen when the stupid programmers that live here aren't going to put it on schedule?
No. I just looked at it. It is the only game on local television.
Thank God.
On Sunday morning, 10 a.m.
Can I get an amen?
Amen.
About ready to slap some programmers if they were going to put that one on.
It'll be on Coin Channel 6.
But we got to put on Justin.
We got to make sure Justin's playing. We do not,
stupid. Remember when they shoved the Titans down our throats here when Marcus was playing? It's like there are 15 better games on.
We've got two afternoon games.
Yeah, but
it's
better than watching the Cowboys and Giants every other week.
Well, when they were good, it was good.
But they still put them on there when they're bad.
That's true.
Yeah. That is horrible. It's horrible. We used to have to watch the Raiders and Niners when they were terrible every week.
Oh, I don't mind watching the Niners and the Raiders.
When they were terrible.
Oh, yeah.
when they were terrible. We used to watch them every week. In the Seahawks, when they were terrible every week, it was horrible.
It's regional.
God, it
sucks. Titans aren't regional.
In the afternoon window, we will have San Francisco, New England. The Niners go to Foxborough. It is not a morning kick.
No.
So that advantage gone. Patriots, well, 2-point favorites.
49ers it is.
I'm going for the Patriots. What?
It's morning for the 49ers. It'd be 10:30 for them body clock-wise.
No, it's not. It's 1 o'clock, 1:25.
Body clock-wise.
No.
For the 49ers are going where? Body clock would be what?
I just said it's the afternoon kick. It's 1:25 Pacific.
What I'm saying. It's 1:25 Pacific. Right?
Which is 4:25 Eastern.
Oh, I did look at it wrong. I'm sorry. You're right. My bad. I thought that was 1:25 Eastern time. My bad. You're right. Body clock-wise, it's 4 o'clock, so we're good. If it was 10 o'clock, they'd actually play better, I believe. I think they would.
Why?
I think the 49ers go in there, and I think that they sneakily, that's not a word, sneakily.
Are you drunk?
No, I missed it. Oh my God, Cam was wrong. Rub it in, please.
I looked at the wrong PT.
I thought that said Eastern Standard Time. I looked at the wrong thing.
You're being funny right now.
No, oh my God, I was wrong. I'm wrong every day. My wife tells me I'm an idiot, so I'm used to that. Keep doing that. I'm picking the 49ers for one reason only. I think Bill Belichick is pissed off. Like, he's so agitated about his record right now, he's not going to be as detailed and normal, which is a rare form for him because he can't trust the fact that Cam is a little edgy. And I like the 49ers coming off a win. I think they go in there and knock him off.
I'm going with the Patriots at home. I think they get right after what was a disjointed week. And I think you're right. Bill Belichick is pissed off, but I think that makes him kind of hone in a little bit more on what's been going wrong there in New England. I'll take the Patriots in that one at home.
Yeah, I also can see a scenario where he wants to make sure everybody understands that he did not get the wrong end of that Jimmy Garoppolo trade, and they're going to try to make his life a living hell. So I'm going to go with the Patriots here as well.
Alrighty.
God, you can't even homer it with me, Buck. Jeez.
I will be rooting as hard as I can for the Niners, and I hope they win, but I think Bill's going to get
it. You got to stay solid, NFC West. Let's go. Yeah, hoping.
All right, which game do we want to do? Bucks Raiders, which is Sunday Night Football, or Bears Rams? Which one would you rather
Bucks
pick?
Bucks Raiders. Okay, come on, that's Bucks, got history. Raiders. That's got history. You got John Gruden facing his former John Gruden. Now John Gruden coaching against the former Super Bowl John Gruden.
John Gruden with his former team that
Tuck Rule,
his formerly former Brady. Team.
It's a lot of things here.
Yeah. All right.
A lot of stuff.
Bucks, Raiders, Sunday Night Football, 5:20. Allegiant Stadium, Las Vegas, Nevada. Tampa Bay favored by 4.
The last time we saw the Raiders, they were doing a good job versus Kansas City.
Sure did, Bet.
Sure did. Derek Carr. Every time I think Derek Carr is going to turn the corner, he goes and has a game like that, and I go, dang it. This is a really difficult pick for me. Tampa's got a 3.5-point line. You know what? I want to see Tampa win, so I'm going to go with Tampa. Although I like the Raiders, this is a very difficult pick. I'm going to go Tampa.
I'm going to go with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I think they're figuring it out. I think they really are figuring it out on both sides of the football. Give me Tom Brady and the Bucs to win on the road in Vegas. Still don't have enough trust in one Derek Carr.
Raiders coming off the bye makes it interesting. I think we could see a shootout here, but I'm leaning Bucks here. I think the Bucks might have it rolling now, but I think the Raiders are going to give them a heck of a fight considering they're coming off the bye.
All right. And the game you can hear right here on 1080 The Fan Sunday afternoon. The Seattle Seahawks head down to not the frozen tundra, but the desert. The
warm desert.
Of Glendale, Arizona for the Cardinals. 5.
Seahawks always win in Glendale. Feels
do
like
they?
Yeah, but the Arizona gets them in Seattle. I feel like every year towards the end of the year, Arizona gets them in Seattle. You see one of these crazy plays. Everybody loves to go down because there's so much a huge Seattle Seahawks contingent in Arizona. They play well in Arizona. They always do. So I'm going to pick the Seahawks for that. If this was up in Seattle, I would probably pick the Cardinals. For some reason, they have their number up there. Did it to them multiple times.
They're always a good game between these two.
Always
though.
A good game.
Yeah.
This is a I'm just more ecstatic that we get to see these two quarterbacks duel against each other.
Right.
Which are the future of the league, not just the future of the league. You can't find guys that look like them. Just two former baseball players, two former little guys that can throw it as good as anybody. They're exciting, they're electric. Great secondary by Arizona. That's going to give a lot of problems to the wide receivers for the Seahawks. I still give me Seahawks.
I'm going to go with the Seahawks in this one, too. I just think they're the better football team. Would not be surprised, though, if DeAndre Hopkins, Larry Fitzgerald, and Christian Kirk give fits to that defense. It's going to be a high-scoring game, I think.
Also, short week for the Cardinals, so that's another advantage that Seahawks
have. And Seahawks coming off a bye.
Yeah, short week.
A bye for one team, short week for the other.
Mm-hmm.
I think that I'm going with the Seahawks here. I think they're due for a loss, but the fact they're coming off a bye and Arizona coming off the short week, I just think it's too much is in favor of the Seahawks at this point.
All right. There it is, folks. Our NFL Pro Football Challenge brought to you by Warren Allen, attorneys at law. Injured? Don't trust just anyone to something so personal. Call George McCoy at Warren Allen, online at warrenallen.com. Coming up next, we have got Antonio Brown. The rumors are gaining more and more momentum to come into the Seattle Seahawks. Good idea. Is there a better fit for Antonio elsewhere? Dustin Cam on the Fan. Antonio Brown on the Seahawks. Good idea. 503-250-1080. That'd be the Fan text line. Pete Carroll admitted it yesterday. I mean, in his press conference, he said, yeah, John Schneider, he's doing everything to go out and try to get everybody who could help us win football games. And when asked directly about Antonio Brown, and there's multiple reports out there that although there is not a contract that's being negotiated right now between Antonio Brown and the Seahawks, they're ready to do it. Is it the best idea for this franchise? 503-250-1080.
And this one says, a top-notch deep receiver with the best deep ball quarterback in the league. That seems like a no-brainer to me.
100. I mean, this guy is a guy who he can dominate a game. He can dominate a game for you and take over, and you don't need to rely on DK Metcalf every single possession. If you're the Seahawks, Antonio Brown can give you so much more than just a, you know, possession receiver. Like Tyler Lockett has been great. We can admit Tyler Lockett has been exceeded expectations, but you put DK Metcalf and Antonio Brown on opposite sides of the field, good luck defending that. Good luck. 503-250-1080. Antonio Brown coming in here. What are your thoughts on Antonio Brown and his meshing well with the system that the Seahawks run?
Say that again?
Meshing with the system that the Seahawks run. Long shots, over the top, deep ball. How similar is it to what he was doing in Pittsburgh?
It's very similar.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, very similar. He's a chunky wide receiver. He can give you both inside and outside. That's what's great about it. So he can go over the top. He can be the guy that can run the 18-yard digs. He can run everything from skinny posts. He's exactly what like DeAndre Hopkins is. He has that kind of talent all over the place. He's not as big, not as long, but his separation factor. In fact, there was a time in Pro Football Focus gave you a stat that said that Antonio Brown led the league in separation, which is space between him and the defender. And those kind of stats or those kind of hidden things about it, yards after catch, all that, continuing and finishing, that's a big deal for a quarterback because space, quarterbacks don't need at this level a ton of space, but boy, when you can have that separation, it does make it easier for a ball.
A couple suggestions for other teams for Antonio Brown coming in. Another one here says, how about Chicago for Antonio Brown?
Oh boy, they don't have enough leadership there to control Antonio Brown, right? You need to have solid leadership, but that's why Seattle, I think, is a good spot for him. I think Seattle would be a good spot because Russell Wilson could keep him kind of in check. And then apparently he and Geno Smith are buddies too, the backup quarterback.
Right. And he's a great fit. He's an elite fit. He could be a Hall of Famer there might be some distractions, but I'm not going to say he's Hall of Fame or not. He has that kind of talent. Everyone's really caught up on this off the field stuff. What can the Seahawks control? Let's think about a business that can't control their performance. Their performance is to win a Super Bowl. Pete Carroll's 69 years old. He wants to win another Super Bowl. Do you think he's walking around wondering whether or not Antonio Brown is going to make some mistakes off the field? I think it's in the back of his mind, but he's done this before. He's brought in Terrell Owens. He's brought in guys that are at the end of their careers. He's had malcontents all across. He finds ways to get through to them. And it's a low-risk option.
But isn't it three teams that have already said, yeah, thanks, but no thanks? Yeah. Pittsburgh, who has great leadership.
Sure.
They said, not worth it.
Right.
The Raiders, where he didn't even play a game.
Yep.
They said, not worth it. Right. And then the New England Patriots, another team with great leadership, said, not worth it.
And that's why the risk is very low, because you could get a week in, he could cause a problem in the locker room, he might do something distraction, and you know what you do? You cut him and you say thanks but no thanks. You do exactly what everyone else did, said we gave you a shot, and eventually the league just says we don't want you anymore.
I got two other teams. One, I believe, is a joke. It says, I want to see the horror show that would happen with Antonio Brown playing for the Browns. That would be must-see TV. But then this other one's more serious. Is what about AB to Tennessee?
Right.
Good structure with Mike Vrabel. You've got Derrick Henry, AJ Brown, Corey Davis already there. And Tannehill can get him the ball.
That is an interesting one.
Right? It is. He fits in a lot of places.
Need help.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I really don't know.
Corey Davis can't stay healthy.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be – Tennessee would actually be a good one. I mean, I don't know if he'd get enough touches for his liking, but he was also – he was in a system very similar to where they wanted to establish a run first with Le'Veon Bell, and sure. Le'Veon Bell got 300 touches a year, and Antonio Brown still found a way to thrive. Tennessee would be an interesting fit for him. What about Baltimore?
Well, that was part of the
– Baltimore.
The conversation was that
Baltimore.
Yeah. I'm mind blanking, but sorry, Coach Harbaugh. There was communication that they wanted to bring him in. There was going to be the players wanted it to do that, and the front office, Ozzie Newsome, and the current situation with John Harbaugh said, no, we're not doing this. We're not bringing that in. We just dealt with this. We just got rid of Earl Thomas. We're not going to do it.
And there is his cousin Hollywood Brown is already on the team. Yeah. And so you'd have kind of similar skill set, too.
Texter says AB could be a great addition, but doesn't fill a need. The Seahawks defense needs to be addressed. Pick up what you can to improve that side of the ball.
Yeah, I sit there, I look at that and go, well, there ain't a lot of great defenders sitting on the scrap heap and on the street. You know, you did have Josh Gordon. You did have, which they did sign, and where's he at? And then you do have Antonio Brown, who are available. And if there was a all-pro caliber member of a secondary sitting around, not named Earl Thomas, who flipped off your sideline the last time he played you,
sure.
Then I think they'd go and get him.
So if you're a good franchise, you're going to do everything you can to get something for nothing. Right now you can get Antonio Brown for nothing. Nothing. So that's a good business decision, because it's very low risk, high return. That's what we all want to have in our business models, right? And we're in the stock market, buy low, sell high. So you could get quite a big return on him. The other thing, as I said earlier in the show, is about we can see that the NFL is valuing way more offensive guys than it is defense. Just look what Minnesota just did to Ndakwe, what they just dumped him for a ham sandwich. Okay, they just said we don't. Now, whether you think they're tanking or not, or what they're doing, Earl Thomas is out on the market. Some of these players, when you're an offensive guy, and I use Le'Veon Bell as an example, he was a malcontent in Pittsburgh, gone. Malcontent with the Jets, gone. How fast and how long was he on the market when it comes to offensive production? Kansas City, the number one team in the league. Much as you want to think, they're right there. They are good. Freakishly good. Said, thank you. Great culture, great ownership, great leader. Boom, we'll take you instantaneously. Offense is valued more in the NFL right now. Defense isn't. And so those that Seahawks fans, also remember the trade deadline's coming up November 3rd. There might be a few things in the works. You just have to see what you got.
Well, that's where the Ngakoue trade is a little bit head-scratching, is were the Seahawks involved in that trade, and to what degree were they? The Seahawks have already mortgaged a lot of draft capital on getting guys in there to fill gaps, and you know, is it just they don't have anything else to give? Because that puts you in a tighter bind as you move forward, with the trade deadline, because teams that are rebuilding, they don't want to swap guy for dude for dude.
Sure.
They want future draft capital, and the Seahawks don't seem to have it.
And Antonio Brown in this scenario, he only fits. He's going to go to a contender. Well, certainly he's not going to go to Buffalo because Buffalo doesn't quite need him. You have Diggs. He's not going to go to Pittsburgh. They lead their division. Baltimore is going to do it. They've had Steve Smith before. They probably don't want to deal with that, so he's out. Tennessee, we mentioned Tennessee, potential good fit. Kansas City doesn't need him. Okay, Dallas, they lead their division. God, that's not going to happen. The Bears is interesting. The Bears kind of interest me a little bit. The Packers interest me, but
the
I don't
Packers
think
Packers is an interesting
I don't think one. He wants to go to a place like Green Bay. I just think
two
he'd
more suggestions coming in. One says, "What about the Denver Broncos? They need an elite receiver."
Not a contender.
And
though.
Then, yeah. And then the other says, "AB should go play with Jimmy G. They need a receiver, and they both like adult film stars."
Oh, they do.
They do. That is that. Would John Lynch do that? Would they pull the trigger on that?
Yeah.
They could Kyle
I think they actually kicked the tires before he signed with then Oakland,
sure.
I think.
Yeah. You could watch film and porn together. I mean, break
Are we
it
sure
all down.
Jimmy just, I thought that was just a, somebody, that he did like an internet
I
thing.
I think he hooked up with her again,
favor.
Though.
I have no
he did
idea.
It as a favor.
No, it was a auction.
It was an auction thing.
Auction
yeah.
thing. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Isn't it funny how, like in one form it's prostitution, but the other, no, this was an auction that we had. We auctioned it off for charity. Yeah. It's all for charity.
Have you ever been to the what? Bachelor auction before? Have you ever seen those?
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm talking about. But it
I
does
won
seem
him.
Like an
He's my date.
Okay.
Okay, I paid 10 grand for you. I can do whatever I want with you tonight. I paid 10 grand for you.
Uh-oh. The interesting part, though, you mentioned Buffalo, and it's like, Buffalo, he wouldn't go there because they have Stephon Diggs. Well, don't you think people are saying that about Antonio Brown with Seattle and being like, wait, they have DK Metcalf. Like they have an emerging star at wide receiver. Like it's not like they have a litany of talent in Buffalo to go along with Stephon Diggs.
But it's Buffalo.
Well, then that's the answer. Like,
but
it's
Josh
Buffalo.
Allen throwing you the ball or Russell Wilson throwing you the ball. You tell me which one, who would you rather have?
They both have cannons.
That didn't matter.
Both going to launch it down the field.
Okay, so which one would you rather have? Though. You're a high-end wide receiver.
Oh, of course
Who makes
Russell
you better?
Wilson.
Well, I'm not. Everybody says it's of course. Some guys might like it differently. I think the obvious choice for him is that they already trained with each other, so there's familiarity.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk some Arizona Cardinals. It's, one thing we know is Antonio Brown won't be on the field this week for the Seattle Seahawks. Moving forward, we'll find out if he is. The Seahawks head down to the desert, and after a big Monday night win in Dallas, the Cardinals are bringing in the 5-0 Seahawks on Sunday. For a preview, we head on down to Arizona to talk to Darren Urban after Buck with SportsCenter. All right, it is 8:33. Dusty Hera, Cam Cleland with you. The Seahawks heading down for a big tilt Monday night in the desert. We are waiting to hear from Arizona Cardinals reporter Darren Urban, who is at practice as we speak. Buck is getting him on the line right now. As this is a pivotal matchup. The first time we get to see the Seahawks face off against a team in the NFC West. Mm-hmm. And you always say this, like you are built to beat the best team in your division, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who are teams building to beat right now in the NFC West? Is it Seattle or is it LA or is it San Francisco? Because they've had the revolving door over the last handful of years.
Yeah, I don't think the NFC West is built that way.
Yeah.
It's different than the NFC East. The NFC East, in which you have years and years of dominant performances like the Patriots, you don't get that kind of luxury. You have to build to beat them. The NFC West has been jumping around. Look, you have the Seahawks Super Bowl. You have the San Francisco go to the Super Bowl. LA goes to the Super Bowl. Arizona's just like, hey, we're going to do our thing. And I think you look at them, I like right now, I like how their roster's shaping up.
And that's when we bring in Darren Urban, who covers the Arizona Cardinals for azcardinals.com. This team has been doing it their own way. And Darren, thanks for taking a few minutes for us this morning. How you doing?
Doing good. How are you guys?
Great.
Very well. You know, this is a franchise we were just talking about building in the NFC West, and the Arizona Cardinals went down their own path, hiring Cliff Kingsbury a year ago, and here we are, year two. It's popping for them. What, in your eyes, has been the biggest difference that you've seen in the development of Kyler Murray in the system that Cliff Kingsbury has brought in place from that last year to this year?
Well, ultimately, the biggest thing when you start talking about Kyler Murray and the system is the fact that what Cliff Kingsbury likes to run and the kind of offensive schemes that he likes to employ, I mean, that's what Kyler Murray's been doing his whole life. Mm-hmm. That's one of the reasons this match between quarterback and coach made so much sense when they drafted him in the first place and decided to move on from Josh Rosen after just 1 year, was the fact that Kyler, besides all his physical gifts, just fits so well in what they're trying to do. And I think that's what they're trying to build on right now. And I think you're seeing signs of it. At this point, Kyler Murray still has some inconsistencies they're trying to clean up in his game, but he's a dynamic player. And even watching Monday night, he had 9 completions, yet in a lot of ways he dominated that game. So that's the kind of player they have right now.
You know, Darren, game plan-wise, you watch them dismantle a, I don't know what you want to call the Cowboys right now, dysfunctional. Maybe the offensive line was weak, but the secondary played spectacular. Those are real wide receivers they were facing, but it came with good pass rush on Andy Dalton. You're going into this game against Seattle. Do you feel, I mean, I think they have the best secondary in the division, and I don't think it's really close, but do you feel comfortable just sitting with 4 guys back there and saying, hey, let's bring the house on Russell Wilson, make him beat you with DK Metcalf? We've seen what Seahawks are able to do, back and forth run game. Which side are you trying to stop first on their offense?
Well, I mean, the Seahawks start and end with Russell Wilson and what he's able to do. And let's face it, the reality is that they, with the Seahawks kind of taking the shackles off of Russell Wilson in the passing game a little bit more this year than maybe years past, you've seen what they've been able to do offensively. The Cardinals without Chandler Jones are a different animal, and they don't have their best pass rusher. And a big reason that the Cardinals were able to go into Seattle late last year and beat the Seahawks was because of Chandler Jones. I don't know exactly how the pass rush is going to sustain itself necessarily over the rest of the year. They did a nice job in Dallas, bringing some blitzes and doing some different things. They don't have that one singular guy. And the one thing that the Cardinals have had in the games that they have played Russell Wilson well, which mostly are the games in Seattle and not necessarily the ones in Arizona, is because they've made Russell Wilson's life miserable with the pass rush. And can they do that again this time? I'm curious to see it. I think there's a chance of it. I think there's some confidence there, but Russell Wilson, let's face it, he's trending as the MVP favorite, and there's a reason for that.
Darren Urban is our guest. He covers the Arizona Cardinals for azcardinals.com. The back end of the defense, though, it played lights out against Dallas on Monday Night Football. And two good Northwest guys in Buda Baker and Byron Murphy were big parts of that. But can you talk about Steve Keim and the job that he's done kind of retooling the defense and bringing guys like, you know, whether it's Dre Kirkpatrick or, you know, the development on that defensive side of the ball to where this is kind of a do or die year for Steve Keim on both sides of the ball as the GM. And he's done a good job of bringing in some new faces.
Well, like I said, losing a best pass rusher doesn't help, but they did do a nice job kind of overhauling the personnel last year. Vance Joseph's first year as defensive coordinator, they just didn't have the people. And the ones that they were hoping for various reasons, injury, suspension, guys getting released because of off-the-field issues, what they thought they were going to have in April, they didn't have by the time the season started, and it showed. But you're right. I think the secondary has looked good. Byron Murphy had his best game of his career last week. Buda Baker made the Pro Bowl last year and got a new contract, and he is playing, in my opinion, like one of the best safeties in the league, hands down right now. They brought in they upgraded their linebacking core inside, especially they brought in Devondre Campbell, who's played so well that at this point, first round pick Isaiah Simmons isn't even playing that much. They brought in Devon Kennard, who's been a very steady outside linebacker. They brought in Jordan Phillips on the defensive line. They did some nice things in terms of upgrading stuff. But again, can they get that one pass rusher or a group of pass rushers that can offset losing somebody like Jones? We're going to kind of have to see where that goes. But the back end, for sure, has played well. And we'll see kind of where it goes. I mean, in the second game last year in Seattle, the first time the Cardinals in Seattle played last year, Patrick Peterson was suspended. The second game, he stuck with DK Metcalf, and I don't think DK Metcalf had a catch in that game. So I'm curious to know what that matchup's going to look like and how they're going to kind of approach the Seattle offense.
So can you help me with this? I'm going to... Kyler Murray yelled at D-Hop. What was that? I mean, so first of all, the relationship in Houston, you know DeAndre Hopkins. I mean, that type of wide receiver, he's not that he's high maintenance. I think he's the best wide receiver in the game. But Deshaun Watson losing him was catastrophic for Houston. You bring him in here, Kyler Murray in year two, feeling confident, yelling at all pro. Is that relationship okay, or was that just kind of one of those situations? I was like, all right, you can be yelling at me anymore? All right, hold on here, youngster. Or is this, I mean, he's just a guy taking on the reins of this is my team, get behind what I'm doing.
Well, I mean, I don't know specifics. I mean, the first time I think most of us had heard about anything like that was when the Monday Night Crew brought it up. I mean, DeAndre Hopkins hasn't brought it up in any of his interviews with us, so I'm not really sure when that happened or how it happened. It wasn't necessarily the other night. I know Monday night, I think there was some frustration from DeAndre Hopkins because he only had a couple of catches, and Kyler was a little bit inaccurate throwing to him a couple of times. But the very next day, DeAndre Hopkins tweeted out a picture of him and Kyler and said, I'm riding with K1, and Kyler responded on Twitter himself. So I don't think there's any issues there. Every time I've talked to DeAndre Hopkins or had him talk or him talking to the media, he's talked about how much he loves it here. He got the new contract he wanted, which was something was very important to him. He's leading the league in yards receiving. He's among the league leaders in receptions right now. I don't think DeAndre Hopkins has a whole lot to be upset about right now. And I do think Kyler Murray is just trying to make sure that, you know, everybody's on the same page the best they can. Kyler said yesterday, you know, DeAndre is always telling him, do you want to be good or do you want to be great? And I think it's just a question of two highly competitive guys. You're going to butt heads once in a while, but I don't think there's any issues there, really.
Darren Urban, he covers the Arizona Cardinals for azcardinals.com. We really appreciate you taking
a few minutes
out of your day.
All right, I appreciate it. Thank you.
Cardinals and Seahawks right here on The Fan coming up Sunday afternoon. This is going to be a fun one. And I that's an interesting note on the DeAndre Hopkins, Kyler Murray, like little beef thing. They did highlight it on Monday Night Football, and nobody else really seemed to care or know about it. And now they're sitting there going, nothing's wrong here, guys. We still love each other.
Sure. I mean, Kyler Murray's not an outward, huge, gregarious personality. He's very quiet. I mean, in fact, when he's getting interviewed, he's looking at his dad for the answers. So I don't know what to take of it. I don't know how, if I was a second-year guy and I'm an all-pro wide receiver, if I'd like my quarterback chipping at me. But... Mm-hmm. If they have a solid relationship and they're okay with that and D-Hop's okay with that and that's part of what they see, all right.
Yeah.
I mean, if Tom Brady's yelling at me, I'm going, all right, that's the GOAT. But if Kyler Murray, like, dude, hold on here. Hold on.
Yeah, but when those tensions boil over, I mean, if you have that mutual respect for one another, then it is no big deal, and that's what they're saying.
Right, and that's their relationship, and if it works, it works.
Yeah, it'll be a big game here, and when you have a guy like Larry Fitzgerald to be the peacemaker,
sure,
I mean, that works.
Everybody's got to have the old man river.
I love Larry Fitzgerald.
Yeah.
All right, Thursday Night Football, bit of a dub. Dustin Cam on The Fan. Hey, Ravens making moves today. They've traded a third-round pick and a fifth-round pick, a conditional fifth-round pick, to the Minnesota Vikings for Yannick Ngakoue. And just now, they say, we're bringing in Dez Bryant. They're bringing him in for a workout, and if his workout goes well and he passes his physical, according to
multiple outlets,
he will be signed. When's the last time Dez played? 2017?
Well, so he went to the Saints, and he was supposed to play, and didn't he blow out his knee or ankle
ruptured his Achilles.
Yeah,
but within the practice. It was like a day one injury with them.
But he had already done a workout with Baltimore earlier this year. I thought they brought him in.
Saw a tweet that said he'd worked out with them in August previously, so this is really more of a check-in and a formality. Yeah. They expect to sign with the practice.
Last time he's played in a game was 2017.
Whoa. Yeah. That's not too bad. Mm-hmm. 2 years. 2-3 years. 2017. Yeah, I mean, so he missed the 18 season and missed the 19. So 2 years.
Yep. Yeah. So that's a long time to be out of the game. And coming off a ruptured Achilles, you never know what you're going to get.
Right.
He's, 32 almost?
Same as Antonio Brown.
So, yeah. And that is where... the Baltimore Ravens making moves, bolstering that roster because right. they know they are not complete in a finished product. And they've fixed two needs. And this is where, like, a Seahawk fan starting to get a little antsy going, all right, well, the other team on the other side that has holes, they're filling those needs, and they're kind of the same needs. Big play wide receiver, another wide receiver to go with it, and a pass rusher. Baltimore went out, and they made the moves, trading for Ngakoue and now signing what's his name? Dez Bryant.
Yeah, but and then the Seahawks want to upgrade potentially. The reports are Antonio Brown, but on defense, they signed Kendricks, so they signed Snacks to bring in more kind of a plugger, a guy that can be a two-gapper, that can take up two guys, which then frees up your pass rush. That you're going to get Jamal Adams back from injury. They're doing everything they can. I think they only have just a shade over $3.5 million left on their cap. So what they're working with is minimal amounts. They've given up a ton for Jamal Adams. I don't know how many more picks they're willing to just dump for mid-round guys. Maybe they're hoping to scrap heap somebody can be dumped. Who knows?
Question along those lines.
Yeah.
Michael Kendricks, we didn't really talk much about him.
Mm-hmm. Signed to the practice squad, which yep. that's what they did with Harrison also.
Yeah, to get him back in shape.
Correct.
He's coming off an ACL tear last year. He had 90 tackles for the Seahawks last year.
Yeah, he was on the field a lot.
He had 90 tackles coming off an ACL. He's no spring chicken.
Nope.
But there's also the idea he is sentencing for his insider trading.
Yeah.
I mean, for the playoff, you know, aren't you gearing up when you're making this, gearing up for this run? Isn't it for Super Bowl run?
Right.
Do you have a guy that could be heading to the slammer for insider trading?
You want to get into legal analyst stuff. I don't.
Well, I'm not getting into legal analyst stuff. I'm looking out on the outside going, that guy, it's not he's going to trial. It's he goes for sentencing on January 13th.
I don't know. I hope he's got a good lawyer.
I mean, or... Yeah, I guess. I mean, I don't know.
Lawyers make a difference. Ask Robert Kraft.
Well, yeah, but this went to trial and he pleaded guilty.
Yeah, he's pleading guilty. Maybe he gets certain things. I don't know anything about the case. I just know that
hopefully he doesn't have.
He wouldn't come back and play Martha football Stewart's. If he didn't feel like that he was going to get an opportunity. And maybe you do the opportunity, see what happens. You get him for 6 weeks, and you know, 6 weeks.
Okay, you're going to go for those
six weeks. Right.
Boy, it's a little roll of the dice here. The gambler is now John Schneider.
You got 32 teams in this league, 53-man roster. It's hard to find depth. It's hard to find good depth. It is hard.
Well, he was damn good for the Seahawks last year, and everybody was waiting to kind of see what was going to happen with that. That's why
just
nobody
ask
signed
Philly
him.
If they can find depth. He's thrown to practice.
No, they do have depth. They're hurt too, though.
Well, that's what I mean. It is hard to find depth past your starters. And you're going, hey, these guys are going to last for it. No, they don't.
When the depth gets hurt, you're in real trouble.
Yeah, you got to look who's having the best season. Usually, is who's the healthiest, and everybody's going to have get injuries and get hurt.
Faux show. All right, so that is our Football Thursday edition. We've got Thursday Night Football tonight. You can watch those Eagles. You ready for it?
Yeah, I'm watching. Go Carson Wentz's.
Eagles Giants, 5:20 from Lincoln Financial Field in Philly.
Yeah. Mm-mm. Joe Judge doesn't have anybody on that roster that is a dominant player. He lost him early in the season. And now you have...
Sure, he does.
Nope.
Daniel Jones, he drafted him sixth overall.
Nope.
Yeah, who is their best player right now?
Nope.
Darius Slayton?
Maybe, yeah.
What happened to Evan Engram?
He's been hurt back and forth. He's had a lot of... Yeah, I was excited for him. He had a big rookie record of catches as a tight end, and then they kind of did some things with him, and then Eli left, and he's had a couple injuries.
Quick, name a defensive player for the New York Giants.
Honestly, that's not a fun game. A defensive, just one?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I know one.
I can name former ones only. JPP.
No.
Spencer Paysinger.
No. Nope. I know David Mayo because he's from Scappoose.
Their best player is Jabril Peppers.
Jabril Peppers?
Jabril, thank you.
Yeah.
That's their best player.
Okay.
Oh, Blake Martinez, former Stanford Cardinal. Blake Martinez.
Okay, he's pretty good.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
He's good.
I mean, is he?
He's good. Well, he's good. He's a starter in the NFL. That's damn guy. I consider that good. Well, I didn't say great or elite, though. So you remember the scale. Bad, good, great, elite. He's good.
When your team is bad, are you?
If you're a starter in the NFL, you're good.
All right.
You're not great. You're not elite.
Well, then who's bad?
Who's bad? Guys that don't play. That's who's bad.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Fair enough. All right. That'll do it for us today. Tomorrow we've got Brian Baldinger, the old dinger, going to come on.
Love Baldy. Baldy, and we'll ask him questions about his crazy. You that booger had bad fingers. She's having him, have him hold up his hand. Oh, wait, it's radio.
Brian Baldinger, 8 o'clock. He will be joining us, our radio.com insider. So keep posted. That means Weekend Would You Rather will be bumped back. We know. We know. But it'll be a Football Friday edition. Up next, we've got the Herd with Colin Cowherd, 9 to noon, noon to 3, Dirt and Sprague, 3 to 7, primetime with Isaac and Souk. Have a great Thursday. See you Friday right here on The Fan.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.